And now you got the cleansiness in front of God. You're clean. You're clean. When we believe in Jesus as our Savior, He bears our sins for us. God no longer sees our sins, but He sees His perfect Son within us.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Forgiven by Grace and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is titled, Forgiven by Grace. If somebody did something for you that was very important and they didn't appreciate it, how would that make you feel? A little bit of a thank you would be in order, wouldn't it? So listen to this. Jesus has done something very important for us. But our level of faith is shown through our level of thanks. What do I mean by that? If you really believe that somebody has done something good for you, and you really believe that that thing is very good, then your thankfulness will be elevated. Do you follow what I'm saying? If I called you up and I said, I just won the lottery. I got $5 million and I'm going to split it with you. You'd be excited, wouldn't you? But what if you didn't believe me? You'd probably say, no way, man, goodbye. But then you think about it, you know, maybe I should call him back just to make sure. Some people treat church and God that way. See, they hear the good news and they get excited about it. Jesus died for me. I don't have to go to hell. All right. Wait a minute. Is that really true? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's not. See, then doubt seeps in, right? And then we say in our hearts, well, maybe I should come to church every now and then and listen to the preacher man just in case. Just in case, like the lottery ticket, right? What if he did win? Maybe I should just stay in contact to make sure that I'm in good standing with the person who's got the good thing, even though I really don't believe. Now, you might think that's kind of crazy, right? But we're like that, aren't we? Deep down inside, if we don't really believe something. But see, Jesus did do something very good for us. And the more we come to realize what He's done for us, the more thankful we become. Because see, we were forgiven by grace. Our key verse today is going to be 1 John 1:19. I'm reading out of the New King James. 1 John 1:19, New King James Version. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a look at this. The big if. Point number one. If we confess. If we confess. Notice how the disciple John put the word if in there. Why? Because he knew through the Holy Ghost that there was going to be people who would not confess. That's why there's an if in there. If. Because listen, there's a lot of promises in the Bible. But Pastor, I'm not seeing any of them. Because there's conditions. There's conditions. Even salvation has a condition. You got to believe. Jesus says, anyone who believes on me will have everlasting life. Condition. You got to believe. He told the Pharisees, if you do not believe upon me, you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins if you do not believe I am who I say I am. That's a condition, belief. Well, the disciple John put the word if in there because he knew that there was going to be people who would not confess their sins to God. There are many reasons why a person will refuse to accept Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. There's people that go to church who have not accepted Jesus Christ, but they go to church. There's people that serve in the church who have not surrendered to Jesus. People go for all kinds of reasons, but it doesn't have to be Jesus. Maybe it's got great music. Maybe there's lots of events at that church. Maybe their friends all go. One reason why people don't accept Jesus is ignorance of the desperate need of Christ. Ignorance. Listen to this. Luke 5, 31 and 32. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What is he saying? You ever go to the emergency room to see a friend sick? And they're really sick in the emergency room? You know in your heart, when you're not sick, you're thinking, glad it's not me. You know you're thankful. When you walk through an emergency room and you see the hurt and the sick in there, you know you're thinking, man, I'm glad that's not me. They ask you if they can help you, and you're like, no, I'm not here for me. You don't need a doctor, right? Now listen, there are people who believe that they are not sinners. And Jesus ain't calling those people. That's called self-righteousness. There are people that believe that I got it all going on. I'm a good person. I give to the church. I give. I help. I love my family. I don't rob anybody. I don't kill anybody. I'm not a criminal. I'm none of those things that society shuns upon. And I got lots of popularity. I don't need God. I'm going to get in on my good grace. See, Jesus ain't calling those people because they won't hear the call. You can't hear something if you ain't listening for it. So Jesus is saying here, I have not come to call the righteous. He's not calling the people that have it all together because they won't come anyways. So ignorance of the desperate need of Christ is one reason why people do not come to Jesus. Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because I want you guys to be witnesses, and I want you to notice this in people who don't believe in Jesus so that you can pray for them when you witness to them. This isn't all just for you guys. You got to take this out of here. You got to take this out to the streets. God has blessed you by putting you with people that I can't reach. And you guys need to learn this stuff so that you could go out there and bring them in. If you look at the pews and see that they're empty, it's probably because we don't have enough witnesses in here. Word of mouth. People want to know what's going on in your church. Amen? Okay. Second reason. Unwilling to repent. Unwilling to repent. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Why do non-believers dislike Christians? Because your light shines on their evil deed. People don't like me around when they want to cuss. I know there's some people in here that cuss, but when I'm around, they don't like to do it. Because they know that I won't put up with it in my presence. Amen? Because Jesus' light shines through me. I don't allow cussing in my house. I don't allow vulgar stuff on my TV set. People that like that stuff don't like to come over. I want to talk the way I want to talk. I want to live the way I want to live. I'm not going to repent. You can't tell me how to live. Who are you to tell me how to live? Unrepentance. Unrepentance. They embrace their lifestyle of sin. I don't want to give up my sin. I want to live the way I want to live. Third reason they don't come to Jesus is unbelief. John 5:40. "But you are not willing to come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "that you may have life." Now see, if you believe in something, then you will do something. And Jesus says that if you come to me, you will have eternal life. But if you don't believe, guess what? You're not going to come to Jesus. You don't have the belief to do it. Unbelief. Fourth, needing more proof. Some people ain't going to believe until they see a miracle. When you go to a doctor, do you go in and ask him to watch him operate on someone else before he operates on you to prove that he's a surgeon? Or do you just put your faith in him? You don't say, can I watch one of your operations before I let you cut on me? Needing more proof, Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Listen to that last part. He left them and departed. You go up to God and you say, prove to me that you're real. You already know in your heart deep down inside that there's a God, because God puts it in every single one of us that there is a God. You know it. As soon as you do a sin, you know it because God is talking to you about it. You know it. You don't need a miracle, because if you had a miracle, you'd just explain it away anyways. Okay, so secondly, point number two to this scripture of 1 John 1:9 is confessing. If we confess our sins, now we got past the if part, right? Confess our sins. Man, there are things that I don't want to tell people about in my life, but you need to tell them to God. Because unless you could come to God openly confessing what's wrong with you, you're not admitting it to yourself. Unconfessed sin can hold us captive and distance us from the blessings of God. Now, how does that work? Well, it's simple. If you got something going on in your life and you're not talking to God about it, it means that you don't want to give it up. You don't talk about the things that you're still doing. It's easy after you got past them to talk about them, isn't it? Because you're past them. And you can easily say, I'm not that person anymore. I got past it. But if you're involved in something that you're not supposed to be doing, and you're the only one that really knows about it, right? Why tell God? He sees it anyways. No, that ain't even what we think. I'm even hiding it from God. Thing about it is we're not hiding anything from God. We're actually lying to ourselves when we have unconfessed sin. And it does hold us captive, because listen, if you have a lifestyle of sin in your life, every time you come to God and you start talking to him about anything else, he is going to tap you on the shoulder and say, we have to talk about this sin. So your prayers can go unanswered, because the only thing God wants to talk about at that point is the sin. You could be coming to God and saying, Lord, I need a new job. Now I want to talk to you about this sin. But God, this job, no, I want to talk to you about this sin. But you don't understand, God, my friends, that were, no, I'm going to talk to you about this sin. And that's what you're going to hear in your heart. And what God is trying to tell you is you need to deal with sin through my son, Jesus Christ, before I will listen to your petitions. People who have never come to Jesus, they have told me that I don't believe in God because I pray and I pray. I know he's not listening to me. When I pray, I can't even feel like God is listening. You want to know why? God does not listen to the prayers of sinners. If you are an unbelieving person, God does not hear your prayers. He won't listen. That's why people who have never come to Jesus feel like there's no God. Every time I pray, it never gets answered. Of course it doesn't get answered. You're not one of his children. He's not going to grant you something when you got unconfessed sin. You got to come to Jesus and be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Then you can approach God and the throne with boldness. So unconfessed sin can hold us captive. There are people right now who have not accepted Jesus Christ, and they're captive in their sin because they haven't confessed. Proverbs 28:13 reads, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Forsake. God, I don't want to do this sin anymore. God, I want to get rid of the sin out of my life. I despise it. I want to depart from it. Tell him about it. Third, salvation is from the Lord, not of ourselves. Not of ourselves. We don't have any righteousness inside of us, do we? It's all by grace, right? Again, 1 John 1:9, he. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful. I'm not a faithful person. I need the Holy Spirit to be faithful. It is by His strength I'm a Christian, not my own. When my flesh gets in the way, I act up. But when the Spirit takes over, I'm a godly man. Praise God. God extends grace to all who come to Him in faith. Does that say some? A few people. Just the good people. You mean a murdering, bank robbing maniac can be saved by God? God extends grace to all who come to Him in faith. Jonah 2:19, or excuse me, 2:9. Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you. See, you got to acknowledge your sin. You got to acknowledge it. Quit trying to sweep it under the rug. You ain't hiding it from God. Just because your husband or your wife or your friends or your family don't see what you're up to, doesn't mean that God can't see it. You ain't fooling Him. Listen, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Salah. He forgave him. But there was a condition. What's the condition? You got to acknowledge your sin. You can't hide your iniquity, and you got to confess it. But you got to do it in what? Faith. You got to do it in faith. Okay. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God. These are the first people. You think you're the only ones, but these guys started it all. Listen to this. Genesis 3, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Do you think that they were really lost from the sight of God? Why was He asking them, where are you? Because sometimes God likes to ask you a question to stir your mind up. He's trying to say, where are you positionally with me? Where are you? God knew where He was. He wanted Adam to think about it. So He said, Adam, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. See, when you sin against God, you suddenly become exposed and you're naked. And the first thing you want to do is you want to hide what you did. I got to get away from God. That means I'm not coming to church anymore. And all them Christian friends of mine that are all filled with the Word of God, I'm going to stay away from them too because they're going to see right through me. I don't want to go to church because everyone looks at me like they know what I'm doing. Because sin covers a person. You know that when someone's into something they're not supposed to be into, that sin covers them like a blanket. And holy people can see it. Saints can see it on them. So, back to this. Notice it was God who sought after Adam and Eve. You notice that? It was God. Did they go up to God and just say, oh, God, we just sinned. They were hiding. They were like, we heard Him somewhere. He went after them. He loves us. He will go after you. He won't beat you down and force you, but He will. He will call to you. He called to Adam. Where are you? See, that's what people don't understand. God loves us. He's going to reach out for us. Amen? Adam was smart enough to answer God. Notice that Adam answered the call of God. That was smart, wasn't it? You hear God call your name, you better straighten up real fast. God questioned Adam and Eve, and they confessed. They confessed. You know that God will come to you after you've sinned, and He will ask you, where are you? What are you doing? Is this really what you should be doing? Do you really, really think that this is what I want you to do in your life? Is this really good for you? Is it good for the people that love you and who you love? Where's this going to lead? Where's this going to bring you to? It's fun right now, but you know where it's going, right? You've heard that, haven't you? He will come to you, and he will talk to you, and he will do it lovingly. He will do it gently, but you got to answer. So God questioned Adam and Eve, and they confessed. Listen, Genesis 3, 10 verse 10 through 14. Genesis 3, verses 10 through 14. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? You have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now listen, that's a half-hearted confession, isn't it? Because they're still making excuses for what they did. Adam blamed the woman, and he blamed God. You know that woman that you gave me? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is your fault, God. You did this. Everything was fine until she showed up. And you brought her. Blame it on the lady. But didn't God give him stewardship over the lady? Where was he when she was acting up? He should have got between her and the devil and said, look, God told me we ain't eating of that. And you ain't giving none to my wife. But he didn't do that. Amen? So now we got the blame game going on. Guys, you know we do it. But now listen, blood was spilled. Listen to this. Salvation comes from the Lord. Genesis 3:21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Animals died. Some people say Abel was the first death in paradise. It was these poor animals that God made skin for. There was a sacrifice. There was blood spilled. Something has to die. Someone or something has to die. Because listen, God is just. If you hear anything I got to say, listen to this. God is just. He's laid a law down. He says that if you sin, you must die. But something that's innocent can take your place. Something that's innocent can take your place. So God made skin to clothe them, right? He took skin and clothed them. So God took skin and he clothed them. That means animals died. That means blood was spilled. Jesus Christ's blood was spilled for us. And he is the perfect offering to God for all our sins. Make no mistake. If you are living in sin and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your sacrifice to God, you will die in your sins. You will go to hell. Man, that's a bold statement, Pastor. I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible teaches. If you don't repent, if you don't come to God while you've got the chance to do it, you're never going to get there after you die. You didn't want to do it while you were living. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Long-suffering. It means he doesn't get so mad at us that he just wants to wipe us out. Long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does that mean everyone's going to repent and come to God? Did you know that God's will is not done on earth as it is in heaven? That's why Jesus told us to pray that his will be done. But it's not done, not every single day, because if it was done, none of us would be sinners. All of us would be repenting, but it's not done. But the day of the Lord, that's the end, okay? That's judgment day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You're not going to be ready for it when God comes back. You're not going to be ready. You're not even going to see it coming. It's just going to be there. Too late. It's here. Like a thief in the night. You didn't see it coming. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Listen, God's coming to clean house. God's coming. Whether you believe that or not, you're not going to stop him from coming. Right? People say, I feel like I'm catching a cold, but I'm just not going to believe it and I'll be okay. Next thing you know, they're sick. You know what's coming because you got symptoms, right? We have symptoms in the world that are telling us that God is coming. Okay, fourth, we are made perfect in him. So let's read this again. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, you are made perfect in his sight. Does that mean that you walk a perfect life? No. No. But does that excuse you from walking a perfect life?
Well, I'm just human, Pastor.
That doesn't hold up. Because in the eyes of God, we are made perfect. Amen. So listen, when you come to Jesus and you've been forgiven, that means your prayers are heard. But see, a lot of times Christians live defeated lives because they start remembering their past sins. And they think, well, I'm not good enough to come to God and ask him for anything, okay? I can't serve God because of all of the sins that I used to be into, right? But listen, it says here that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You're clean once you come to God. Forget about those sins. God's forgotten about them. Move on. Move on in your life. Don't let the devil keep condemning you. The devil's got no more hold on you. Once you've repented, come to Jesus and to be cleansed. You're free. You can live your life any way that God asks you to live it now because you got the strength to do it. And now you got the cleansiness in front of God. You're clean. You're clean. When we believe in Jesus as our Savior, he bears our sins for us. God no longer sees our sins, but he sees his perfect Son within us. Jesus covers us. When you pray the prayer of salvation in faith and confession and repentance, Jesus comes into your heart and he covers your sins and God sees them no more. When he looks at you, he sees his perfect Son. So when you pray for his will, you're going to get exactly what he wants for your life. Exactly. See, some of us haven't been praying for the will of God in our lives because we're scared. He might do something I don't like him to do with my life. He might tell me that I got to go do something I don't want to do. And he just might do that. If you're unbelieving, you might be a little afraid because that means you're not trusting what God is asking you to do because you don't have the faith to walk it. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Did you know that as Christians, you will suffer persecution? How come you think it's, look, you know you're going to suffer as a Christian or you'd be at work right now, right? Telling everybody about the Bible. You'd be telling all your ungodly friends about the Bible, about Jesus, and talking openly to them if you knew that you weren't going to be persecuted for it. But deep down inside, you know that you got friends that you can't talk to Jesus about because they won't be your friend anymore. Shame on you. Because if they won't listen to you, then they ain't your friend. Because they ain't the kind of person God wants you to hang around with if they ain't listening to what you got to say about his son. If someone doesn't like your mama or your daddy, if they want nothing to do with your family, are you their friend? So why would we hang around people that want nothing to do with Jesus? It's okay to come into contact with them and to give them the word of Jesus, but why do we hang out with those kind of people when they don't agree with who our Father is? Could it be that our faith is weak? Could it be that our loyalty is weak? Could it be that we're more worried about what the world thinks about us rather than what God thinks about us? God is calling us, but we must take the action to answer. We must take the answer to God that we accept his son, Jesus Christ, that we want to come to Jesus through grace.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.